So, this is the second time that we're re-recording it. I'm getting really good at actually screwing these things up by being slightly inebriated when we start these stuff. So, with me I have Katie. Katie Kinson online and Katie Watkinson in real life.
Yeah.
Why did you get that name?
My hairdresser came up with it.
your hairdresser out in Amsterdam, right?
Yeah, because Watkinson is unpronounceable in Dutch.
Do you know any Dutch?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you fluent?
No.
How long did you spend out there?
Klein. A year and a half.
Yeah. Do they speak much English? I mean,
yeah, they're
in Europe, but...
They speak a lot of English. The guy I was living with doesn't speak much because he was living in Amsterdam. Well, we were both living in Arnhem, but he was working in Amsterdam. I was working in Eindhoven, which is in the south near France.
Cool.
So I was speaking mostly Dutch, but we did work with a Hungarian and a French person as well. So
work was pretty multilingual.
Yeah. But no one really spoke anything. The French guy didn't speak any English.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Totally
stereotypical.
Yeah. He'd eat really weird shit as well, like tripe and stuff for his lunch.
Really? It's like in a little packed lunch of...
Or like filet anglais. Because he used to drive up from France and stay overnight in the factory.
Uh-huh.
It was really cool though. He used to... run other knitwear manufacture stuff.
Okay.
And then drive back to France at the weekend.
So, alright, we have to recap now.
Yeah.
And go over stuff that we've already talked about. So you can just pretend that you know exactly what you're doing now. So you're a fashion student, and you're actually in the fashion, you were a fashion student.
I was a fashion student.
Here in Huddersfield.
Yeah.
So, it's I've known you probably since you were a fashion student, so it's been an entire year that you've actually been in the industry and doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you've done a lot in this time from what we've already just talked about now.
Well, I took quite a lot of time out to work.
So you actually did 2 years or so and then industry and then came back?
Yeah.
Because otherwise you've done loads and like jumping between all these interesting jobs and places and things.
I've been working in marketing since I finished my degree.
Mm.
Which I like a lot more than designing.
Why? I mean, what's the passion in marketing?
Because it's so competitive. And designing is a really like big thrill. I've seen my clothes in like on Fashion Week or in massive department stores. But I just, even though the company I work for now, marketing, is really, really small, I just get really excited about trying to make people buy stuff they actually don't want to buy.
trying to understand the impulses.
Yeah, I really like marketing.
There's a fascinating article I read from a guy that runs a website that I use. And basically, what he does in his spare time is he keeps selling the same thing over and over again on eBay. The same item, literally. I think it's just an old iPod.
Mm.
And he keeps trying new things, like different photos, different perspectives, different texts, putting more effort in at some points and less effort in others. He's trying to figure out how he can really market this one item to completely different price points to understand exactly the psyche behind people buying things.
Yeah. It's interesting as though working for a charity like I do, because people, they're not getting anything, so all that you're giving them really is their feeling of like altruism and thanking them so much for donating their money. Yeah.
So what is the charity?
It's called Trees for Africa, and we plant trees in Lesotho, which is a country completely surrounded by South Africa, and it's mountainous. Its lowest point is higher than the Himalayas or something like that. It's really high up.
Very high.
It's a really difficult job because people think that when you say you're planting trees in Africa, people kind of think
desert.
yeah, like, why do Africa need trees? But this country, like, they've completely deforested themselves because of...
Because it's a short-term gain.
Yeah, it's freezing cold there. They'd literally freeze to death if they didn't have firewood. So they've deforested themselves and, in result, completely ruined their farming industry.
Wow.
Because they can't have any fertile soil anymore.
Yeah.
And in 15 years, they'll be completely out of trees. There'll be no more trees left in 15 years.
This is incredible.
Yeah. My boss is an old geography teacher, and he's really passionate about it.
Yeah.
But also very sort of stubborn with his ideas of things.
Like, he's doing everything he can to try and basically get this working.
It's like, you've employed me as your marketing person. I've got good ideas.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, do you genuinely feel like you're contributing?
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that's nice in itself. I mean, a lot of people, like, you know, I work for big companies making things for big people that helps them get richer, per se.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I make cool stuff. I'm happy with that.
Mm.
But you're genuinely helping people as a full everything.
Yeah. Which,
that's nice. That's something I'd like to do at some point.
It's a really big goal as well, because it's frustrating because it's such a fixable problem. And if I can persuade people to see how fixable it is, I know that I'll be able to sell a lot of trees.
Yeah.
But it's just, is that barrier of, like, Africa's really hot, or why do they need trees? Surely they need food or something like that. But Africa's really close to my heart because my best friend ever, who I've known since nursery school, is living in Uganda at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
She owns several care homes and factories.
Yeah.
And with my design background, I want to help her achieve a kind of fair trade manufacturer thing and do some designs and get stuff made up there.
Cool.
So I have all these plans for a children's wear label that will be manufactured in Uganda and made up in Uganda. She's recently got married to a Ugandan guy, and she's just the most amazing person you could ever meet.
Yeah.
She really is amazing.
Is she English?
No, I met her when I was four.
Mm-hmm.
Her dad was doing a PhD in England, and a master's in England. And then when she was six, she moved back to America.
Yeah.
And we've kept in touch ever since. So she's been writing letters.
Do you see her very often?
No, I see her once every few years.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go this year to visit her in Uganda and try and get some kind of factory thing worked out with her.
Cool.
But it's quite exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
Again, it's interesting.
Mm.
So we're going to recap. Huddersfield. You studied here. You studied fashion, media design.
Yeah.
But why Huddersfield? I mean, you had a lot of choices, presumably, for this course.
Yeah.
I mean, I've already talked to someone before about the idea of doing fashion and stuff like that in Huddersfield, and they were quite impressed by the actual... the stuff that we had in Huddersfield.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not just pimping out Huddersfield full stop, because I didn't even study here. But every time I walk past the building, I see all that beautiful sort of window that's just full of dresses and stuff like that that's on the mannequins. I mean, was this the best place to go and do it? Why did you choose here?
Well, no. To be honest, I didn't want to move too far away from home because I was having quite a hard time. And also, my best friend, who I was in a bit too close of a relationship with, she was going to Nottingham Trent, which is the best place outside of London.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to go where she was going, so I just came to Huddersfield.
Like, blah, screw it, I'll try it.
Don't want to go as far as somewhere cool like Brighton or London because I'm having problems. Don't want to be too far away from my mum. Don't want to be in Nottingham Trent because my weirdly incestuous friend is going there. So I'll go to Huddersfield. Not because I like Huddersfield, just because...
Just because it just was a place that wasn't where you were?
Yeah, it was the right place to go at the time.
Cool. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's definitely not what I was expecting, but no. Hell, in saying that, that makes it more interesting in the get-go. So, what did you do? You did a year gap year?
Kind of, yeah. I did about a year and a half.
What did you do in
working? The...
Where?
Wait for a couture designer called Iris Van Herpen.
Really?
Yeah.
She's looking at me really cynically, I might add, right now.
Iris makes things out of metal, out of hair, and out of leather.
Okay.
And they each weigh about 150 pounds. They can't be worn by regular people.
So, I mean, who are these being sold to?
No one. She's not making any money. She's in...
I mean, literally, no one bought them.
No one can buy them. Occasionally, she'll get commissioned to make some special design, but no one can buy them. But to a lot of the kind of Dutch art scene, it's very not about the money.
It's not, yeah.
It's about the art.
It's about the art.
Yeah. And we bickered about that a lot, because I felt like she could at least make a T-shirt label or something.
Yeah.
Considering that she's showing at Fashion Week and she's on magazines and her clothes are being worn by all these celebrities.
She's not actually making any money out of it. So you can't make a living of it. I mean, you can do it for the art, but you still need to pay the mortgage.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, did that influence you in any way in the way that you... draw, the way you style your actual designs? I mean, I know you don't do too much more now that you're doing marketing, but surely you still think about it.
Yeah, well, I am starting up my own label, and it is a very commercial label. Not very commercial.
As in, I'm selling...
Yeah, but it is different, but it is still going to be wearable. People will still be able to physically wear it. It's not going to weigh... Because I'm doing it for little girls.
Yeah.
It's not going to be... Like, my graduate collection was quite commercial, and that's been in a few magazines and things like that, but people still would essentially buy it. It's still...
It's. Sellable. I mean, that's the thing, yeah. It's still... It's like art.
Yeah.
You can have some really, really interesting abstract art pieces, but... Yeah, I want some beautiful Pokemon-inspired artwork for my desk.
All the magazines I could be in, or all the fashion shows I could be shown at, they don't earn me any money. My money comes from selling my pieces. So...
It's... I guess it's a bit of a trade-off between actually making a living from what you do...
Yeah,
and showing off for what
it's
you're doing.
It's your vision, but I think the difference between art and design is... art is kind of expressing yourself, and design is making a product that people want. Mm. When you're designing websites, you could do something as conceptual as you want, but if no one can use it...
It's not very useful.
No, it's not very useful. It's pointless.
I agree, completely.
In studying design in Yorkshire, it is very commercial. It's very useful and very practical. Studying in Holland... you learn to express yourself and be very artistic, and they actually have a lot more arts grants and things like that in Holland than they do in England.
So you can kind of ish get by constantly pulling in money from grants and things
like
that.
Well, Iris made her money from arts grants every year, repeatedly, from the government.
Wow. That's kind of interesting.
You wouldn't be able to do that in England.
It's just not really feasible.
Yeah.
That's quite interesting. It's quite strange. But... Sorry, I'm just blown away a bit. I never really thought about it like that. cool. Very, very cool. What else did you do as well? I mean, you started with Miss Metal.
Yeah.
Two heavy designs.
Yeah.
And then what did you do after that?
I went to work for a knitwear designer called Emily Hermans.
So, with knitwear, do you have various... Is that quite different in terms of actually what you're working with? And are your designs different based off that, and you have different feel?
Yes, it's not constructional. It's very... I think that with fashion design, it should sort of complement the person and fit on your body rather than be something constructional that fits.
That you fit into.
Yeah. That's a matter of opinion. But I think something that clings to you is much more flattering, and you should be inspired by women and have something very simple that makes women look beautiful.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to make a shape that isn't there.
So you take what you have and you enhance that rather than try to create your own.
And all the things that we designed were very simple, and it was a really easy job.
Yeah.
I did some illustration, then I did some designs and some pattern cutting that was complementary to women's bodies. And the women who are buying that kind of thing are in their 40s or 50s.
And they're really liking it.
Yeah.
Aww.
It doesn't need to be these 16-year-old models. You're making it for...
for pretty much anybody that wants to try it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you're designing specifically for a very specific niche of people. You're trying to
We never designed anything that was too far above the knee or too low cut or that showed your arms off or anything like that. And we had this really talented French guy doing all the knitwear patterns for us, and jersey's really nice to wear. A lot of people don't like designing it, but it's nice to wear, and it's, if you know what you're doing, it's easy to design.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to work with.
Cool. I mean, did you feel like, you know, working there, you were still challenged creatively? Were you, did you feel like you were, as a person, getting better at what you do?
Yeah, a little bit.
In comparison to now?
Well, hopefully I'll turn the design aspects and the marketing aspects and the commercial aspects all together and make a lot of money for myself.
Yeah. That sounds interesting. Cool. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're doing your own label and trying to really get it out there.
Yeah.
Ah, cool. I'm happy with that. So... I met you through photography, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure, actually, when we first met up.
I think it was in the parish or the Camel.
I'd wager it would have been one of those.
And I was interested that you were taking a lot of pictures of me.
Yeah, that's probably true, too.
I do find that interesting.
We might have had, like, a friend in common at that point.
No.
Really?
No.
I was like, oh.
No, actually, I remember what it was. It was in the beer garden at Camel.
Outside. Oh, yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
And I can remember telling James about it. And he was like, oh, yeah, I know.
That guy. Just all the time. Actually, yeah, at that point, I was, air quotes, working for the Camel for all their photography.
Yeah.
So I could legitimately get away with doing that by just saying, yeah, for the night. But kind of since then, people just expect it of me. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's it's kind of nice. So, I mean, do you do much photography now? I mean, I spotted you on your Instagram earlier. You seem to actually be doing it more than I do, which is once every week at this point for me now.
I Instagram, like, every day.
Yeah?
If not more than every day. I have to Instagram a picture of my rabbits every day.
Yeah, I saw a great one of your rabbits lying dead on your Facebook.
Yeah.
That's kind of cute. I've met your rabbits. They were nice.
They are nice.
So, but the other thing you do is a lot of modelling.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into that? Is that just a simple offshoot?
I can't remember. Oh my god. I used to fashion model when I was a teenager because I was very thin,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very tall and very straight and something. So I used to fashion model when I was a teenager.
It's just that kind of.
And then when I was in second year of university, no, third year of university, was when I just moved back from Holland.
Yes.
My dad had bought me a point-and-shoot camera.
Cool.
And I decided to start photographing models.
Mm-hmm.
I met this girl called Claire Chodnowski, who is an amazing fashion model. I met her. She models for me. She's also a really good fashion model.
Yeah.
She's also a really good photographer, yeah. She asked me to model for her. So I model for her in this thing that's called Fashion Without Clothes. And she basically draped loads of wool all over me.
Wool? Just straight wool?
Wool. And put in her Flickr. All the people that she'd modelled for previously decided that they wanted me to model.
Suddenly, you've effectively gone viral.
Yeah. She is a really good model. She's worked for a lot of really good people.
Yeah.
There was a guy in Huddersfield called Eddie Cheng, who I'm meeting for coffee tomorrow.
Cool.
Who used to take his work because he's a really cool graphic designer. He does a lot of commercial photography, but also he does a lot of tutorials for photographers.
Oh, wow.
Like
teaching the whole, from scratch.
Yes, sort of model photography.
Mm.
He does a lot of workshops and things like that. He met me for coffee because he knew that I was interested in photography.
Yeah.
And I assist him quite a lot. He asked me to model for him. He's one of the best around, really. And through Claire, I modelled for people like Jay Mawson. The last modelling job I did was for Colbacks through in Birmingham for, I don't know how to pronounce it, Lotra magazine. And
yeah.
He runs a magazine called The Visual Linguists.
So, pretty high-profile clients, if you will.
Not really. I sort of do kind of, arty, erotic stuff. It is, quite sexy.
It is. I get to see all the freckles on your shoulders.
Yeah. But I... before I knew it, just from doing some stuff with Claire, I was just, working all over the country.
Yeah.
Doing different things. Also... What's quite funny is from doing sort of kind of arty, erotic modelling, I end up knowing and being quite heavily involved in the porn industry.
Wow.
Not doing it myself, but knowing
people. Knowing a lot of people.
Who are interested in it.
Well, it's you were on Facebook, does anyone want to do nude modelling? About 50 people, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I was like, how do you do this? I was totally impressed by that.
I went to a party in London the other day and I met one of the most published porn photographers in England, and everyone says to me, Ian's a really stand-up guy, he's really open and honest, and he shoots all this porn but he's not fazed by it and he's such a cool guy. And this guy is a complete pervert. He spent the whole time just staring at my tits when he was talking to me. He's a complete pervert. I'm not ashamed to say it's called Ian Thompson. He's a cunt, you know. But he shoots for things like...
Are we talking FHM kind of stuff, or are we talking serious gonzo stuff?
Anything. His probably most high-profile client is Escort. But he's shot for stuff like WeAreHairy.com.
Which I've never heard of, but sounds awesome in my opinion.
I also know quite a lot of models who have shot for WeAreHairy.com.
Well. Right.
One of the girls that I've shot, who's this girl called Faye, she lives in Sheffield. She's an absolutely stunning girl.
Yeah.
She's beautiful. She's about 5 foot tall. She's got tiny boobs, a tiny fanny. Slutty as you like.
Sure.
She's one of the most amazing porn stars in England. I'm really lucky to have shot her.
Yeah.
And one of her most regular clients is I don't know what they're called, but she basically pisses herself.
Wow. Like, and then that's the actual niche of a lot of websites, basically.
Yeah. It's quite scary because a lot of people... like, I have my sort of career, so I don't really need to go as far as kind of open leg stuff or...
Yeah.
Or hairy porn or pissing yourself or stuff like that. But some girls do, you know.
I mean, it's your niche.
Yeah. Some, like Faye probably makes...
ridiculous amounts of money.
Ridiculous amounts of money, maybe 30 to 60 grand a year.
Mm-hmm. Which is comfortable living.
It is comfortable living. She's in a very nice flat in the middle of town. And it is interesting to know these people, but...
Well, at least he gets to go to pretty kick-ass sounding parties with perverts.
They're not kick-ass parties.
Oh, damn it. That's not how it was in my mind.
Like, I met one of my friends who's a nude model,
mm-hmm.
called Chrissy, and I went to meet her in Leeds the other day.
Yeah.
And as soon as she saw me, she was like, Katie! And give me a big hug, and she was, like, completely naked.
In the middle of Leeds?
Yeah, it was in the studio.
Oh, stop, yeah.
There was about 10 people in the studio, but still, it's, like, they're just really comfortable with themselves.
It's just completely comfortable with...
Yeah.
I think, I guess you'd kind of get used to it, I mean, to say the least.
Mm.
Which makes sense. I ended up doing a naked shoot for someone
a few weeks ago. How did that go?
It went really well. It was really cold because it was under a waterfall. Mm-hmm. And I got the photos back. They're kind of surreal. But because then I've never really seen myself naked from someone else's perspective.
Yeah.
Literally, never. No, that would be the first time I've seen myself in photograph naked.
That is the most interesting thing about modelling, is that you see yourself from different
someone else's
people's perspective.
Yeah.
Because when I modelled for Carl last week or 2 weeks ago, I was so excited to be in a magazine and modelled for Carl Baxter, and his work is awesome. And he does all these like big campaigns and stuff, like all these fashion companies, and I was really excited to see the pictures, and I got them back and I was like, what the fuck is this? This is awful. I was like, I don't look like this. He got like all my... fattest angles. I just look terrible. I could not airbrush my skin. I looked awful. I was like, I'm so ashamed to show this to anybody. I hope no one ever sees these. Ever, ever, ever.
But that's his interpretation of you, essentially.
Yeah, that's his interpretation of me. That's why people book me, is because I am quite laid back and because I'm not...
A diva.
I sort of... I describe myself as like a glamour model, but in the sort of movement of the Terry Richardson, Richard Kern sense, rather than the...
I'm afraid you're going to have to explain these terms.
Right. You know, there's like the traditional sense of the glamour model with the big tits and really pretty
face. Yeah, the kind of 1950s, you've got your head behind your... hands behind your head and you've got that full curve coming on.
Yeah, or like really big boobs, but... the sort of modern movement of glamour modelling is kind of very, very, very voyeuristic. And, like, this could be your girlfriend.
It's, like, kind of gritty and realistic.
Yeah. Like, I did this thing for Jay Mawson called the Guy with the Camera Project.
Mm-hmm.
And he shot me and some porn models and... some fashion models in a really sort of D300 on camera flash.
Really? Yeah.
Completely unedited kind of thing. And it was. He is a really talented guy, so he made me look gorgeous. But it's a. You know, he'll like leave his feet in there or something so it looks like you could be taking that yourself.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like a really pervy guy, like, gone loose.
And just happens to be in the right place at the right time with the camera just ready, and this is what you could be doing.
Yeah. That kind of glamour modelling is very different to the signing, FHM.
And the kind of, this is perfection that you should work towards sort of ethos that they've got.
He didn't airbrush any of the models, so there was a lot of kind of razor rash and stuff like that going on, which is kind of sexy in a way, because I think it reminds you of your girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want perfection.
Mm.
You know, although I'm not quite sure I'm ever quite the niche you guys would be looking for, but I don't believe in the perfect person.
Yeah.
Everybody has their flaws.
There's a guy called Joseph Story in Manchester, and his stuff is probably the most ripped off and copied photography in everything that you'll see. And his work is really, really interesting. He ropes his models a lot.
Really?
Yeah, and he'll
have... I mean, is that expected by this point? Or is that part of the surprise, if
he
you
He tends
will?
To work with people that he knows very, very well. But he'll sort of have either himself, like, grabbing the hair or grabbing the face, or he'll have them with a Polaroid in front of themselves.
Like, holding
them,
yeah.
It's that kind of thing that's sort of a bit candid and looks like you could... It puts you as a photographer in there yourself and isn't the sort of really pruned and polished kind of thing. And a lot of the time whenever I do modelling, it's always shot with Polaroids or shot with Diana cameras or something like that. Like, even when I work with Eddie, like, he shoots really high-profile stuff with his product photography and stuff, but with modelling, it's always, like...
An expression of...
To make it more sexier, he shoots it with Polaroids or Holgers or something like that to look like you could have taken this yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the way that glamour photography is going. If you look at it in front or something like that, it always is shot with an on-camera flash, like... Like, this is a sleepover slumber party that we walked
hanging
into.
Out.
So it's shot, like, really badly.
Yeah.
But on purpose.
I mean, I'm sure they've got some very clever minds behind all of these photos.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're done in a way that feels that you could actually contribute, do it yourself if you were there.
Yeah. Like, when I shot with Carl for Visual Linguist, I was like, oh my god, it looks so amazing. I can't believe that's me. I look like some French film star.
Mm.
I can't believe that's me. And then when I got the pictures back, I was like, oh my god. That's the worst. I think you've picked the worst pictures that you could have. But I know that he's picked the worst pictures
because
that you could have.
Because that's what he wants out of it, right?
That's what he wants out of it. That's the annoying thing about modelling, is that...
You're still not quite in control.
No. That's why I take a lot of sort of pouty self-portraits on my iPhone and stuff.
Mirror.
Yeah, I want people to think that I'm pretty. I don't want these sort of, like, cellulite pictures that the photographers take of me. But I never look hot.
Well, I guess that's a trade-off. I mean, you do get some very interesting pictures on your private blog, which I might now is private blog, because I tried to log in today to check you out on your non-Katie Kinson one and realised that...
My blog?
It is entirely invite-only.
My blog?
Mm-hmm.
It's not invite-only.
Not Katie Kinson. The WordPress one that you have.
I don't have a WordPress one. The Kate Bradley one.
Maybe. You have two links on your Facebook profile for your blog stuff. One of which is a blogger, actually. It's a blogger blog.
Yeah. I got rid of that one.
Just killed it.
Just killed it.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I do take, like, self-portraits.
Well, that's where the whole "you always have freckles on your shoulders" thing came from.
Yeah, but that... You know, if you take pictures of yourself, like I said before, there's a temptation to make it, like, really hot.
Just right.
But I think also it's interesting to have kind of ugly ones of you, naked or topless or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of all of these things.
Mm.
I don't know, I think I'm with you. I like the idea that a photo shouldn't just be this is my best side.
Mm.
You want to really explore the idea that you're a multifaceted person, and you can have some terrible photos, and at the same time, they're great because they are.
Mm.
Maybe you've got good context, or you know, stylistically it looks interesting. But I don't think aiming for perfection is always the best way.
No. I mean, I know that stuff like FHM is always going to be really popular because it is, like, perfect woman and it was super sexy hot woman.
Uh-huh.
But for this movement that's going on at the moment, like, I am, like, pretty much perfect in the way that I'm just sort of unsymmetrical enough to hold a game without being super hot that you would never believe that you could fuck her in real life.
Yeah. You're like the perfect girl next door kind of thing.
Mm. Like the girl next door, attractive wise, but weird looking enough to just still be modelly. It's perfect. So I just like went from strength to strength. Before I started my marketing job, it was like my main income.
Mm, just modelling.
Just modelling, yeah. Wow. Travelling all over the country modelling for weird little arty magazines.
Which is, that's just fascinating, the idea that you could do that. I mean,
I know, but it really is just like right place, right time.
Yeah, just, you know, networking. You've talked to enough people doing stuff. I mean, it started off just a flicker.
It just chained off. Like, just chained off and chained off and chained off. But as well as the people who are really interested in it,
mm-hmm.
you get a sort of rich amateurs who'll have the, like, sort of...
bazillion cameras.
Yeah, they'll have the 5D kit and they'll have their own studios. And it's really annoying because they want you to kind of pull out the stuff you did from that magazine just for them. But you can't do it.
You can't, because it's always context-specific. I mean...
Yeah, the photographers... Some of the photographers I've worked with are geniuses.
My favourite photographers are really funny. Like,
yeah.
You know, you talk to them, and while you're talking, you get these pictures of you about to laugh or just about to do something. But if you've not got that kind of connection with someone, it's difficult.
A lot of them are very, like, very, very flirtatious, but only to the point of, like, building a rapport with people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's all about rapport.
We can't all be the guy that gropes everybody, right?
No. But you should look his stuff up to see it's really, really good.
Yeah, no. I'll link him. Yeah. It definitely sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, he's a genius. I would work with him, but I've always been too afraid. Everyone I've worked with him, you should look up Joseph Story, and I'm like, yeah, I'm too scared. He's really, really good. But it's absolutely fascinating because all of his stuff looks like you just think, I could fucking do that. I could take that.
Yeah.
That's really easy. It's there's no location. It's always in his bedroom, you know. It's so simple. You think, I could do that. I should do that. And that's kind of the frustrating thing about it. I could do that. I've got a camera.
Yeah.
I've got the access to it, but I can't do that.
You just can't, because, I mean, it still requires, like, to jump back to modern art, I guess, you know, anybody could make a messy room.
Exactly, but
it takes someone to say, literally, this actually is a messy room.
Yeah. He did this thing called the floor tray,
mm-hmm.
where he kind of gets this topless girl. I have to demonstrate.
I have to explain what you're doing.
He kind of he stands over them like this.
Yeah.
And he takes a picture with the girl in between his legs of him standing over him. He gets
his feet in as well.
He gets his feet in the picture. And I swear that's been the most ripped off shot of anything I've ever seen. But it looks so awesome. He's kind of straddling this model and she's like groping
his
crotch and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's so simple, it's genius.
Yeah, it really is. You've got to be like, I mean, as you said, he's friends with these models. So he's just literally, right, I'm standing on top of him. This is how I would be taking the photo. Oh, I do want to check out his work,
because
actually.
Everyone can imagine it's them in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can imagine that they're this guy who gets to photograph all these girls.
He gets all the beautiful ladies and he's like, oh, do you know what? Now we're here, I may as well take a few photos.
Yeah. It's genius because it's your feet. It could be anyone's feet. It's genius.
Yeah, noted. I mean, some people just know what they're doing.
Mm.
And that's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What time are we at? Do you want to call it 40 minutes? It's a good innings, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, Katie.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed this.
I have too.
Aye. Ciao.